I'll not keep you long here this evening. I read a text here where it says, of sin because they believe not on me. And he goes on, he says, of righteousness because I go to my Father. That's John 16. You see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you in all truth. He'll teach you. He'll reveal who I am. God in Christ. He'll reveal that the Christ of God is God in Christ. He'll reveal that to you. It'll be a mystery. You won't be able to explain it. But he'll reveal it to you and you'll believe it. Now, he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He's our teacher. He shows us the things of Christ. We don't get them because we're wise, wiser than someone else. These things are made known to us by revelation of the Holy Spirit. All things that the Father hath are mine. He claims equality with the Father. All things that the Father has are mine. I claim equality with him. That's what he says, isn't it? All things that the Father has are mine. What does the Father have? Well, the Father is Almighty God. God in heaven, the true and the living God, Almighty God. That's his name. That's my name. My name, his name, are my name. Whatever you call him, you can call me. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while ye shall not see me, and again the little while ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Of sin, verse 9, because they believe not on me. Now all of us that's gathered here this evening, I believe, admire and highly esteem legal, natural, conscious convictions of sin. We admire that. Highly esteem it. Now, such legal convictions many times work effectively to cause immoral people to be moral people. Legal convictions. Natural legal convictions of the conscience, which we all have one time or the other. And I say sometimes these legal convictions work effectively to cause bad people to be good people. Not good in the sense that God is good, but good in the sense that the world views them. Causes bad people to be good people. That is, sometimes these legal, natural convictions of the conscience can motivate an alcoholic to stop his drinking. Sometimes legal convictions, natural legal convictions on his conscience, will motivate him to stop his drinking. Someone might tell him, get him aside and say, "I seen your poor wife today, and she was distraught and worried. You haven't been home for 3 or 4 days. The bills keep coming in. There's no milk in the refrigerator, no bread on the shelf. You're wasting your money, depriving your dear wife and your children of the necessities of life. Shame on you! Why don't you quit this drinking and straighten up?" And so that convicts his natural conscience. And he said to himself, "I'm ashamed of myself. I shouldn't act that way. I've mistreated my wife, who I promised that I'd love her to the bitter end and be her helpmate forever." Sometimes actions like this, conversation like this, can motivate the alcoholic to quit drinking. "I'll quit then." All right. Sometimes these legal convictions can stop an adulterer to quit committing adultery. Someone might talk to him saying, "Listen, you're doing wrong. That's a terrible thing you're doing, committing adultery at her. You promised before the preacher and before the witnesses and before God himself that you'd keep yourself only unto her, for better or for worse, as long as you should live." Sometimes, I'm just saying sometimes, that legal conviction grabs a hold of a man and he says, "Well, I'm going to quit that fooling around." And sometimes an unconcerned person can become dedicated and religious. Well, the normal reaction to what I've just said is this: "So, what's wrong with that?" Well, it's not sinful for an alcoholic to stop his drinking. It's not sinful for an adulterer to stop his adultery. These things, listen to me now, you're going to miss everything. Everything I'm trying to say, if you miss this. These things only become sinful if the person thinks or imagines that these things recommends him unto God or qualifies him for God's salvation. That's when they're wrong and that's when they're sin. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm trying to say. This is a true illustration. Most of them that I give are not true. There's some that I try to conjure up somehow. Just a true illustration, because the man that is the subject of the illustration's wife, I believe it was his wife that told me this. If it wasn't his wife, it was a close friend. He'd been going to church, and he became loyal to the congregation and attended frequently, and there seemed to be a movement of change in his life. Yes, by appearance, it looked like he's changed somehow. Well, out of the blue, he run off with another man's wife to Florida. And I heard about it. And I said to this either his wife or a close friend or relative of him. I said, what's wrong with the fellow? They said, we had the preacher come and counsel his wife. And he told her, he said, now, this is not unusual, he said. He said, the reason he's done this, said he's under conviction. Oh, no. When they told me that, I don't know whether I said to them or not, but I probably did. I probably said, oh, no. That's legal conviction. Legal conviction is what he's talking about. Not Holy Spirit conviction, because Holy Spirit conviction never leads a man to do an immoral act. Holy Spirit conviction leads a man to believe on the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as his only righteousness. Don't lead him to run up. Now that's what the preacher said. Now if the preacher said that to one of his members, what kind of members do you reckon he had? If he said that's the way the Holy Spirit works, says up here, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. When the Spirit of truth is come, he'll guide you in all truth. Does that sound like he'll lead you to run off with another man's wife and do it under the guise of Holy Spirit conviction? Oh no, that's not Holy Spirit conviction. None whatsoever. Well, this is the sin that deceives us all by nature until we see the light of God's gospel shining into our hearts, opening up the depths of our heart and wounding us. The only thing that will recommend a sinner unto God and entitle him for God's salvation is the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we should all, I guess, and I think probably we do, maybe not so much to one another. It's important that we do, I guess. But it's more important that we admit our sinfulness unto God. Even the sinfulness of our best deeds, we need to admit and confess unto God. And if necessary, confess one unto another. And be sorrowful for our sins and repent of them. But we should never be led to think that our remorse and our sorrow will contribute to remove God's wrath or gain God's favor. You follow me? Nothing that we can do, our repentance, our sorrow for sins, our regrets, our shame, none of that will recommend us unto God. That's a hard way to go, isn't it? Well, I thought because I quit drinking or I quit this that somehow that would gain me favor. No, it won't gain you no favor with God. You can quit every immoral thing you ever thought about, but that won't recommend you unto God. You won't gain God's favor. The only thing that gains God's favor is the free, imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to your account. That's the truth. So help me, God. Now the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ assures peace with God And all who come to the Lord Jesus Christ and plead the merits of His obedience and His death, all of them, God, the Holy Spirit, will show them that His righteousness alone, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, secures and demands the salvation of every man who has come to that point. Even the worst sinner who comes pleading the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's His righteousness. Even the worst sinner, the worst sinner outside of hell tonight, if he comes pleading the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the blessed God will show how that Jesus Christ's righteousness alone makes the difference between the saved and the lost. He'll teach you that. It's not our faith, it's not our repentance, it's not our obedience, it's not even the admission of our guilt that saves us. All these things are right, but that is not what puts us in good stead with God. It is the righteousness, the sinless perfection of the man Christ Jesus, who lived these 30-some years on the face of this earth, and when he left it, he was untainted and unblemished. He was spotless and beyond reproach. He said, "What? The devil, what have you got to do with me? Sinless." It's the righteousness that God sent him to establish on the behalf of his people. That's what stands us in good stead with God. It's his righteousness. A full admission of guilt and defilement and corruption and depravity will do a sinner no good savingly, unless that sinner finds relief in God's Christ. How can we tell the difference between Holy Spirit conviction and legal conviction? Which legal conviction comes from the natural conscience? Now, legal conviction and spiritual conviction are both aimed at bringing sinners to repentance. Both are aimed at making sinners admit that God would be just to damn them because of their sins, and that God would be just to damn them based on their best efforts to do right. What then is the difference between Holy Spirit conviction and legal conviction? The main difference can be clearly seen by asking this question: where does the sinner find relief? Where does he find this rest that Jesus talked about when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." You've been laboring all your life to gain favor with me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, you can't find no rest in your own labor. Come to me, and I'll give it to you. I won't pay it to you. You can't buy it. I'll give it to you And you can have it forever. Rest and peace for yourself. Now a person, I guess, might see himself as a vile and wicked sinner, and he might admit that he's totally depraved, that there's not a part of his being that is not touched and tainted with the poison of sin. He may admit that. He may admit that he's totally depraved, and he may admit that he's never done anything right in his lifetime. And God has never done anything wrong. He may be truly sorry for his sin. Now here's the main issue in Holy Spirit conviction. God, the Holy Spirit, will never lead a sinner to find relief from the guilt of sin or to seek God's favor and fellowship anywhere but in Christ. That's Holy Spirit conviction. He'll never lead you to find relief from the guilt of your sins by saying, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. The Holy Spirit won't lead you there. The churches that I know of, not true churches, religious churches that I know of and know the people that go there and have talked to the people that went to these churches, they have come forward at the pleading of the preacher. The preacher has pleaded and told them, Christ died for the sins of the world. What you need to do is own him. And so they come and they say, I love Christ and he loved me. But there has been no conviction. Legal conviction is what's taking place here. And the moral man or the immoral man's gonna become moral. He didn't go to church, but he's starting to go out of church now. He's mingling with the others. And they're all in the same boat. It's the blind leading the blind. And they're all gonna fall in the ditch somewhere along the way. God, the Holy Spirit, won't lead a sinner to find relief from the guilt of his sin, and won't lead him to seek God's favor anywhere else but in God's Christ, in the Christ of the Bible. That's the issue right there. The Christ of the Bible. There's many gospels out there. There's many Christs out there. False Christ. Counterfeit Christ. Counterfeit salvation. I held up my hand. The preacher gave the invitation and asked if there's anyone here wanted to be prayed for. I held my hand up. He said, if you've got that much invested in it that you held your hand up, take a step now and come forward and be saved. The Holy Spirit's not in that kind of salvation. That's a counterfeit Christ and a counterfeit preacher and a counterfeit gospel. And it won't save a flea. Then the Holy Spirit's not in it. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that convicts of sin. As long as a sinner, even if he might be under the conscious agonizing of his sinfulness, if he finds relief in anything anywhere but in Christ and his blood and his righteousness. It's not Holy Spirit conviction, because he's got to find it in God's Christ. If he finds relief anywhere or in anybody but in God's Christ, in God's Christ alone, then that person is displaying a legal conviction and not a Holy Spirit conviction. You can talk to these people that have made a profession of faith under legal conviction. You start to talk to them about God's election and see what happens. Just mention to them that, well, dear sister, dear brother, or if you want to call them that, I believe that God is sovereign. I believe that he rules and he reigns. He kills and he makes alive. I believe that he's in control of everything. And when a man dies, it's because God appointed him to die. And God saves whom he will. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will show kindness and goodness to whom I will show kindness and goodness. You mean by what you're saying that God doesn't give everybody a chance? Salvation is not of chance. Salvation is of grace, first and last. It's like the woman said one time. She said, by what you're saying, you disturb me. I know I'm saved. I just know I'm saved. And this business of election, I don't see that or understand it. That can't be right. So the man told her, are you saved? She said, I know I'm saved. He said, who saved you? She said, God saved me. And he said, was it an accident or was it on purpose? And that wound her up. God saves on purpose. He saves those that he chose in his beloved Son before time. God's not trying to win this world. I know that's what all these Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and all of them are talking to God. Oh, help God out. Let's get together and help God out. In the newspaper, I'm always reading where some Pentecostal preacher is gathering up 100 people and they're going to march for Jesus. Jesus doesn't need any help. He's a king. He's on the throne. He does what he wants to do. He doesn't need any help. All that they desire of us is praise and worship and thanksgiving. He needs no help controlling this world's population. He'll make the sun to shine and the stars to shine at his bidding. Oh, my soul. The legal man that has this legal conviction. Well, this legal conviction might cause him to become moral, might cause him to become religious. I heard you raise your hand in the meeting down there the night. What you need to do now? You need to come down and come to church and join the church. Coming to church and joining the church, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're coming to church and joining the church because you think you're going to find favor with God, then it's a sin. Oh, listen. May cause him to be baptized even. join the church. He may even start giving his money. He may be led to find peace and rest and assurance in a counterfeit Christ. There's many Christs out there. There's many gospels out there. Ah, listen. As long as a man wallows in this legal conviction business, as long as he's in it, his misery will never leave. The person, any of us, all of us, who does not seek relief in Christ as Christ is, as he is revealed in the Bible, as he's made known and distinguished in the gospel, he doesn't believe God. Most people find relief in their feelings of guilt, their sorrow, their remorse. And that's as legal as finding no relief or finding relief somewhere other than in God's Christ. Used to be a fella that I knew, he's dead now, and he was thought to be a moral man, although I knew he wasn't. I knew he was a drinker that slipped around and drank daily. I knew that about him. I've seen him on the job so drunk that his eyes couldn't focus, his tongue was thick. But he was considered by most of society as to be an outstanding citizen. I knew him well. And every time he seen me, he used to say, "How come you changed? How come you changed? You're not like you used to be." And I never could make him understand. I tried to make him understand about the salvation of God, about being depraved and helpless and hopeless, and God in his marvelous grace stopped me on my way and stripped me of my own righteousness and revealed to me the righteousness of the Lord Jesus freely imputed unto me. He never could understand it until his dying day. He always wondered. Every time he seen me, he wondered. And he's like a lot of people. A change. If you're a drunkard and you quit drinking, people think that's Holy Spirit conviction. It may be in some instances, but in most instances, it's not. It's a legal conviction. And legal conviction won't save you. It'll just make you give up some of your wildness and so forth. Holy Spirit conviction comes when we see not only that God is just to damn us based on our sins. That's Holy Spirit conviction. That God would be right if he sent me to hell tonight. It's only the mercy of God that I'm here tonight. I should have been in hell 76 years ago. Holy Spirit conviction comes when we see not only that God is just to damn us based on our sins, but that God is just to save us based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. That's Holy Spirit conviction. I hope all of us, to a measure, has it. Natural conscience convinces us that the law curses us based on sin, even our best efforts. However, legal and the natural conscience cannot convince us that the law justifies us based solely on the imputed righteousness of Christ alone and entitles us to all of God's salvation before we make any effort to repent, to obey, or to serve God. Legal conviction. Beware of legal conviction. Legal conviction will lead you down the wrong road. Holy Spirit conviction will lead you to trust in Christ alone and His righteousness. It'll convince you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the only way you can gain favor with God is by and through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is sinless perfection. That's the only way you can do it. You can try from now. You can go home tonight and say, well, I'm determined to quit this, I'm determined to quit that, and you may quit all those things. And by the quitting of those, the first thing you know, you'll think, I've done this, I've done that, and certainly I can gain God's favor by what I've done. Oh, no. You can't gain God's favor except based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't do it. I know you think you can. You think, I'm changed. I've changed my mind. I've changed my attitude. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to quit talking about the preacher. I'm going to treat the neighbors a little bit better. First thing you know, you're going to say, well, I've done this and I've done that. How come I done this? How come I done that? Oh, I found favor with God. Now, not on the basis of what you've done. The only basis. Christ, that's what the whole Bible's about. That's the whole story. It's about this one person. Christ, Christ, Christ. It's about Him. Ain't about your works. The only hero of the Bible's the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for His people. He lived for His people. Died for His people. He's His people's substitute, surety, representative, and mediator. He ever lives on high to make certain that His people will be where He's at. He's the forerunner. All right.